You're listening to The Total Counselor with your host, attorney Alan Margulies, on News and Talk Radio, AM 830 WCRN. Once again, here's attorney Margulies.
Welcome back. Alan Margulies, The Total Counselor, 508-871-7000. If you'd like to join us on the air with any questions that you have, you can always reach out to me otherwise at radio@totalcounselor.com. I'm in the studio again with David Karofsky from Transition Consulting Group. Welcome back, David.
Thank you.
And you hit on a bunch of great points at the end of that last segment, and communication is so vital. And so often, and today it's you have to just come back to is that we're such a connected society today, but yet we're such a disconnected society today.
Right.
Everybody's on their cell phones. I mean, I've shared on the air here a number of times is I was out to dinner with my family one time, and there was a husband and wife sitting at the table. Their two kids are sitting across from them, and all four of them are on their cell phones. Yep. Texting. And it's amazing. And I joked with my wife, and I said, Heather, do you think they're actually texting to each other and that's how they're communicating?
That's right.
It's amazing. And these days I try to make sure that communicating at the dining room table. But one of the things that you had raised as far as working in the family business, at first when you're throwing that out, I'm saying, wow, I'm spending money to send my kids to camp. Maybe I should just bring them to the office. It's a whole different perspective.
That's right.
And I'm thinking, oh, man, you're working in the family business and everything. That's so rough for a child over the summer. But I liken it to exactly what I do in the office is that I work long hours during tax season. And I always bring my 8-year-old to the office with me, especially on the weekends, so that he can see exactly when I'm late in the office at night. He'll know exactly in his mind exactly, okay, Dad does this. And so he loves it because he gets to sit in front of the computer and watch some YouTube videos.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. It's out there. Your mom's going to yell at you tonight. And so he has the opportunity to come to the office. And my 3-year-old now, I've started bringing him to the office, and he loves shredding papers, making copies. It's those little things that start to get them acclimated into what a business is about.
Well, it's my father and I talk about the sense of stewardship in business and the sense of what it means to be an owner. What it means to be an owner and what it means to work in a business, in my opinion, are two very, very different things. And what you're talking about is you're exposing your children to the culture of which you live in. And they may never grow up to be attorneys, and they may never grow up to work in your practice. And that's great because we want our kids to do what they want to be able to do. But when you look at a business where it's a retail business, a manufacturing, a distribution business, and they are seeing the output of what their family is doing and the impact it's having on the greater world, that's how you build stewardship and a sense of ownership in this business. That, you know, it's 24/7. If you're an owner and you own your company, whether it's a law practice or a consulting practice or whatever, it's never off. And, you know, workers, if it's 9 to 5, it's 9 to 5, and they shut it off, and they don't take it to dinner with them, and they don't take it to bed with them. We do as owners, and it can be great, and it can be a challenge. But that's how you build it, is early on, like you're talking about.
Excellent. And that's where you have to have those communications. You have to show them that, and that entitlement factor. That's so important. I mean, it's in business. It's just in life. It's as we see in the political campaigns that are going on. It's all about is, are you working for it? How have you actually achieved it? And frankly, is that I go back to Harry Chapin, great musician, and he had a prelude to one of his songs, and he was basically talking about his grandfather, and his grandfather would say is that there's days where I've worked so hard, but I fought other people's battles, other people's wars, and I go to sleep at night, and I sleep, and it's very restless, but then I have days where I might have lost everything, but it was my battles, it was my decisions, it was my things that I was doing. And when I put my head on the pillow at the end of the day, I know that I've earned that sleep for that night.
Right. Yep. Very interesting.
And so let's talk about leadership assessment and development. So you have the opportunity as you're working with the different family dynamics and different things to look at the leadership of the organization that they've established. You've developed this roadmap as to, okay, we've determined we're going to have a succession plan. Here's what it's going to look like. These are the things that we need to do. Right. How do you then start to assess the family members?
So it's an interesting. In many cases, I was interviewing Ernie Bach Jr. About a year and a half ago, and we were talking about leadership with him. And we said, you know, Ernie, how does a business know which member of the next generation is going to be the leader? And he said, 9.5 out of 10 times, it's obvious as to who that leader is. And I would agree with him. It is. Many times the heir apparent surfaces to the top, and you can see in the role that he or she plays within the business that it's pretty obvious that they're going to be the leader of the next generation. And that when that happens, it's usually a good thing. The challenge is when you have a couple of sibs in a family business that could be the leaders. Both of them think they're capable, and all of a sudden now, who do you determine, you know, who takes over the business? Because one of the things we generally don't advocate for is co-leadership. It works sometimes. We know a client that it's who's done it, and it's actually working quite well. I'd say that's the rarity in a situation. When we look at leadership, we look at a couple of different components, and we've actually created a leadership assessment tool. It's called the Attributes of Leadership that my father and I have created, and it's been adapted out of work from Harvard. And what we look at is, first and foremost, we believe that self-awareness is probably the greatest attribute of leadership. And so we look at a bunch of different, I think there's about 59 different categories or comments, essentially, that you rate on a scale of 1 to 5 in terms of your competency within that category. And we compare it yourself, but we also look, most importantly, what are the needs of the business? The needs of the business shift from generation to one to generation two to generation three. The needs of an organization are going to change. In generation one, you're entrepreneurial. You're growing it. It's all hands on deck whenever it is. Generation two tends to professionalize it, formalize it. Maybe you put in governance structure. You put in roles and responsibilities in a management team. Generation three then goes back into growth mode. That's a very common trend in business, and particularly in family business. So when we look at leadership, we have to look at where is the business, where in the life cycle is an organization, and what are the needs of that business, and what are the needs that that leader needs to bring. And often that helps us to really assess the capabilities of an individual with respect to the family business.
That's fantastic. 508-871-7000 if you'd like to ask us any questions here. And just one thing for listeners here that are thinking, oh, this is just family business related. No, this is business across the board related.
That's right.
And very often I'll find, I like sitting in the seat that I get to sit in a lot of times. And a lot of times I have the legal background, I have the accounting background, but I just wear them as hats, as lenses. Not necessarily where, okay, everything is legally related, everything is tax related. It's not, and you shouldn't let tax decisions necessarily wag the dog's tail.
That's right.
And you really have to look at it in a business, and very often with business owners, especially where it's one owner, a lot of times we feel alone as business owners as to what direction should I be going in. Well, I can stand and talk to the wall and maybe I'll get some sort of a response from that. But I always suggest is, when was the last time you actually sat down and mapped out on a blank white sheet of paper? I tend to do a lot of mind mapping. And when was the last time you took that blank sheet of paper, a couple of different colored markers, and laid out what your organizational chart is and really determined, okay, if I could start all over, what positions would I have and what would that look like? Because whether it's a family business, whether it's just a regular business, you need to do that just in your normal day-to-day, but also in that succession planning to make sure that you're filling in these roles properly, to make sure that you have each of the distinct characteristics that are needed.
So I'll build on that in two ways. One, when my father had his wall covering distribution business, he and my grandfather every single year would sit and look at their organization, and they'd look at the greater industry, and they'd sit there and pick their quote-unquote all-star team. If they could have this person in this position from that company, or this guy or that woman or whatever it might be, and bring them into their family, into our family's business, that's how you create a growing, sustainable business, is to go and cherry pick, if you will, some of the top players within that industry. The second point I want to make is, it's very, to your point that you made, it's lonely at the top, that being an owner, being a CEO can be very, very lonely. It was that impetus that really started an idea that my dad and I started 3 years ago called the Peer Alliance, where we run peer groups for people that are in family business. This allows CEOs of family businesses to get around a table and talk to each other. The one thing we've learned in our own research and in talking with others is that people learn more from their peers than anybody else. So we are the professionals, Alan, and you and I understand the law and we understand family business as well or better than anybody, and we know that. However, when you get a group of 8 or 9 CEOs or leaders of a family business around the table, the energy that's created and the learnings that are created from their own experiences is unbelievable. And so we have 4 different groups running right now. And we put together people from different family businesses in non-competing industries, so there's no worries about confidentiality or anything like that. These are completely confidential groups. And we get them together on a quarterly basis for a full day, and we run all-day meetings with them, and they share their challenges, the opportunities, what it's like to – it could be family challenges. It could be business challenges. It's not just about the family because they are running massive businesses here.
And what's some of the context of those conversations?
So the context could be anything more from, how do I get my mom and dad to let go of the business? What are some experiences you guys have had in transitioning the business down to your own generation? I have challenges with my brother or my sister, and how do I manage those? That he wants to take it one direction, I'm trying to take it a different direction, and so they're able to call upon different experiences from different family members. Two, I want to look at my organization, and you guys know me as well as anybody. Where do I best fit within my organization, or what type of an organization structure should I have based on the type of leader that I am? And so we will come back and we'll give feedback on their leadership abilities. We will do retreats with the group where we'll get a book. We're exploring using the Emotional Intelligence 2.0 book to be able to look at one's emotional intelligence and use that as a resource for the group to discuss so that each of them becomes better and more aware of their own emotional intelligence as well as others. So it all depends on, each meeting is very different. We'll bring in speakers, estate planners, we'll bring in financial advisors, we'll bring in HR professionals. So it all depends on what the group wants. They set the agenda.
Great. Got a lot to cover, but we're coming up close to a break, so we will check out right now. I'm Alan Margulies, the Total Counselor, 508-871-7000. Any questions that you have, get them in. We'll take you on the air, radio@totalcounselor.com. Otherwise, we'll be right back.